What is going on, everybody? Welcome to episode 36 of the Operation Hero Talk podcast, the number one podcast for the nerds, the nerdettes, the blurs, the blurdettes, and of course, gotta show love to the weebs and the weebettes. What is going on? Very happy to be here with you guys once again, time and time again, blowing in the wind. I'm joking. Either way, we're back with another great episode for you guys. As I explained in the past episode 35, titled A New Hope. I recommend you guys go check it out. Available on all platforms. The usuals. Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. The big three. But also on other streaming platforms as well. So if you want to know which other ones it's available on, feel free to leave a like and a comment. The like is for me. The comment is for the information. And I'll go ahead. I'll make sure I go ahead and get you that information. But in the meantime, and in between time, introducing, once again, welcoming back to the show, the original T-Mac, and I ain't talking McGrady, people. I'm talking about the man with the master plan, the man who owns, the last time I checked, I think it was like 300 businesses. The man, the myth, the legend himself, Tyler Morgan. What's going on, Tyler? How you doing, brother?
What's up, D? How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. Got a lot of shit to talk about today. A lot of shit on the agenda. Let's just get right into it. I don't even want to fuck around and waste no time. Okay. All right. Because I feel like this conversation is going to stem a lot. It's going to be extended a lot, or focused more so on the video game side. Let's get what my audience wants to hear first out, which is probably what we normally talk about. So what have we seen? What have we observed? What did we like? If I remember correctly, you recently saw the Black Adam movie.
Yep. Yeah. Right,
go ahead. Get your shit off. Get your shit off. Go ahead.
Based off of the last podcast, I said I wasn't too sure.
There were not high expectations.
I wasn't too disappointed with the movie. I will say it could have been better. They definitely, you've seen it, correct?
No, not yet. No? I am not in a rush.
Okay, I don't know if you want me to spoil it for you.
You will not spoil it for me. Okay. Because I will not be paying any of my fucking money to go see that movie.
I didn't pay no money to see it either, so okay. I totally understand that.
To the audience, he is about to spoil Black Adam for you. So to the three people on the planet that actually want to see that movie. You know, go ahead and cover your ears or skip to like a later part of the episode. All right, go ahead, Tyler, get your shit off.
Yeah, so Dwayne did a really good job, actually, with this movie. I can definitely tell he put his heart into it. I don't like how they really rushed the story behind Black Adam.
Naturally.
You can definitely tell there's not going to be another one.
Yeah.
Because... it probably is for the best. And the only reason I say that is because, obviously, towards the end of the movie, he relinquishes his powers, and then he gets them back. But the Shazam thing is what got me. That is what got me. And I thought about it, and I'm like, okay, I guess, you know, because they kind of look like the same people, you know, Black Adam.
They got their power from the same place.
Yeah, they did, and it was the demon gods or whatever. I forgot what they called them in the movie, but it was those like higher power people that gave them their powers, and Shazam was like the call word, you know, in order to summon him, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And again, like I said, Dwayne did a really good job on the movie, acting wise. However, I don't like, which I kind of felt it was going to go this way, but I didn't like how they told this movie. I don't like how they rushed a lot of it. The action scenes that me and you talked about last time, mm-hmm. The ones that I was kind of like rooting for, there was only one good action, I guess, scene or moment that I really liked, and it was in the beginning. Everything else that happened after that, it was just your run-of-the-mill shoot 'em up, and then basically the guy that's a fucking god is gonna come in and destroy everybody. So
shoot 'em
I
up
mean,
with lightning.
Yeah, pretty much. And I mean, I'm not gonna lie, in the beginning, that first fighting scene that when you see the movie, you'll know what I'm talking about. He did a lot of different shit, and I thought it was kind of cool. And I feel like they could have spanned that over the entire movie instead of rushing it all right away. I mean, he grabs a guy's face and fucking vaporizes him. He takes a guy and he throws him. Like, he grabs his arm and he throws him. But his arm.
So from what I've seen, from what I've seen in the trailer, various clips, I'm assuming you're referring to the scene when the mercenaries first discover him.
Yeah, in the cave. Yep,
in the
and
cave,
then they come
yeah.
out of yep, and then they come out of the cave. I mean, he takes a guy, he grabs him by the arm, and he throws him, but the arm like rips off, so the guy like flies through the room, and then he just drops the arm like he's dropping a mic. Like, I feel like they could have taken a lot of that and moved it across the movie. You know what I'm saying? A lot of the different things that he did in the beginning, they could have spanned it out over the movie instead of rushing it all in one. And I feel like that would have made the action sequences, I guess, a little more interesting and worth kind of watching. Like I said, I fell asleep towards the end of the movie because it got, not only am I sick, but it just got boring towards the end. And
let me slow you down, because you quickly going through
sure
all
yeah
of it. Yeah
yeah I'm sorry,
but I want to highlight some of this. So I don't want to make excuses, and I don't want to spend as much time on this movie as we possibly need to. From what I've seen, and like I said, I don't want to make excuses, but right. to me the dialogue was Kaka. And it's still, to me, from what I've seen, it's highlighting the same fact I made in the last episode. This movie was too late. If I'm getting 2009's The Rock, I think this movie works.
Sure. Right? I agree.
But if I'm getting what I'm getting now, there was no difference between the Dwayne Johnson's acting in this movie than it was in, I got a great example. Give me a second. I think it was called, you ever seen a movie with him called Fast?
I think so, yeah.
It's about him being like a driver, and his brother robs a bank, and then they get ambushed, and then he like gets shot and wakes up in a coma, and he wakes up from a coma, and then he does prison time, gets out, kills everybody that killed his brother.
Yeah, I think
you remember
Faster.
That movie?
You're thinking of Faster.
Faster, yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There
yeah,
was
I've seen that movie.
Absolutely no difference from
right.
the dialogue.
I
in
definitely
there.
Agree.
And it's like, don't get me wrong. I'll give, and it's not even like, and to all you guys listening, if you're a Dwayne Johnson fan, you understand that there's a certain tier you have to hold him into. I don't necessarily place him in a very high tier, but I damn sure don't put him in a low. I know he to a certain extent, he has range. Two movies, Be Cool and Central Intelligence. Both.
Yeah.
Funny as hell.
Right.
One he's playing a gay guy, and the other one he's playing a fucking obsessive CIA agent that's obsessed with this guy that he went to high school with, right? But so he has limited range, but he has range. And I think in this movie, it was too much of them saying, hey, let's not make you do too much, because, and you maybe you can chime in here. I think they thought that CGI was going to save them.
Oh, I definitely believe that. But you know what? The other thing is too, Dwayne's not to blame solely for this movie not being as good as I thought it was going to be, or anyone thought it was going to be. I mean, again, this goes back to the last podcast. They've been writing this movie since 2009, 2008.
2006.
Okay. Again, so, and like you were stating, you know, pushing this, if this would have came out in 09 with the 09 Dwayne, sure, this would have been great. And I can honestly agree. All the action sequences, all the dialogue. I mean, the entire movie feels like it came out in 2009. It does not feel like a 2022 movie. And I'm saying this based off of other DC movies that I've seen in the last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
And Marvel movies. I mean, you look at everything and then you look at this and it's like, damn, bro, they were like so basic on everything they did. It almost feels like they rushed this movie to get it done.
Fam. Okay. All right. Okay. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, let's put this shit to bed right now. We got to stop doing this because for the longest time I've done it. I did it. I still do it at times. I catch myself doing it at times. We got to stop this. When we're discussing live action DC movies, we shouldn't even be bringing Marvel movies up. They're too far.
I only brought it up just because, I mean, you're looking at comparisons between the two universes, you know?
I know. My thing is, let's stop comparing because there's no comparison.
There isn't. I was just talking about movie productions and...
They're too far ahead. Even with... this is just being real. And we're getting back into Black Adam. Even with the subparness that Phase 5, to me... has been, it's still better than anything DC has put out. And so I don't even think about Marvel when I'm looking at DC movies now. Cause I'm like, you know what? That's unfair to them. But I'm gonna hand it back over to you. Why I've been laughing periodically the whole time you've been talking about this movie is because I caught wind of what you said. When you before you first started describing the movie, you said, and I quote, "I wasn't too disappointed in the movie." How fucking sad is it that is the level of success that we give these DC movies? If I'm not too disappointed in it, it's a success. It's not a hit.
I wouldn't even say it's a success. I mean, when I say I wasn't too disappointed in it, I mean, I went into this movie thinking I was going to be disappointed. You know what I'm saying? And I look at, I know you said not to do this, but I look at the Marvel movies, and when I go into a Marvel movie, there has not been a single Marvel movie that has ever come out except for one. And it was a Hulk movie. And this was way back when they switched the character. After the first original Incredible Hulk, they came out with another one and the actor switched.
The one with Edward Norton. Yeah.
That was the only Marvel movie I ever went into. I'm like, okay, I know I'm going to be disappointed because it's not the same guy. So with the DC movies, especially this one, when I say I wasn't too disappointed, I would, on a scale of 1 to 10, this movie was like a 6. You know, like a 6 or a 7. And I'm actually looking at Google right now. IMDb has rated it 6.9 out of 10, 40% on Rotten Tomatoes. That's not good. You know what I'm saying? That's...
Well, you know, you know how Rotten Tomatoes...
Yeah, that's true. It says, according to Google users, though, 93% liked the movie, but that doesn't tell me how many people actually rated this movie. You know what I'm saying? So, this movie... Definitely could have done way better. Like I said, you can tell that they rushed the production on this to get it out. From the writing of the scenes, the dialogue, the action sequences, the little bits and pieces in between, like they could have wrote the movie better and changed the dialogue. Two, they could have spanned his entire story over two movies, but instead they jammed it all into one, rushed the beginning. I mean, the intro sequences of his life in the beginning was like the first 15-20 minutes, you know what I'm saying? And then there's another
interesting origin story.
It is, but they don't really touch too much on it, you know what I'm saying? Like they do, but they don't. And
you want to know something interesting? You want to know something interesting about that? I'm just bouncing off your point. You want to know something interesting about that? I think he actually does end up, if I remember from the comic books correctly, he does end up having his own nation.
Yeah,
that
he does.
Like in charge. Yeah, that he's in charge of.
Yeah, well, like, they worship him. I don't know if he's necessarily in charge of it. At least in the movie
I remember the. Well, not no. I'm not talking about the movies. So
You're
remember in
the
comic. In the comic, he was a representative at the UN.
Yeah. Yes, and he was. So, yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, in this movie, you can definitely tell. I mean, they take bits and pieces from the comic, but they went and wrote their own. I guess. Kind of following his universe, but they kind of branched off a little, you know, and instead of him being like a ruler of anything, he's just worshipped by, you know, he was this person that they've wanted to come back forever kind of thing, like the Jesus Christ thing in the Bible, you know, the second coming kind of thing. And I honestly feel that's what this kind of movie portrayed. And I don't know. I mean, out of all the DC movies, this was probably like, I would definitely put this in my top five worst. You know what I'm saying?
That's interesting what you're saying, Tyler.
I mean, I want to hear what I want you. I want to know what you know what you've got to say after you see it. Because I mean, I've talked to a couple other people, and we kind of all agree on certain things. I've only had one person tell me this was the greatest fucking DC movie that's come out in the last 3 years, and I don't agree.
I will watch it. Before the next pod, Whoever said that is ridiculous. Because if they not counting the cartoon movies, they're bugging.
Right, I'm even talking about the first Justice League release, bro. And then they re-released it. But the thing is they re-released it, and I like the re-release. I don't like the original. Yeah, I didn't like the first one.
Yeah,
the Snyder Cut was my favorite one of it.
So. And once again, what you guys got to understand is I'm viewing this through clips, and this is going to be our last take on Black Adam, because we got to move on. Look, when you know what, I'm not even going to go into no long speech. Dr. Fate. Oh, my God. Dr. Fate. The way they nerfed this man in this movie should be a fucking crime.
Now, Dr. Fate,
what y'all gotta understand?
I'm trying to remember. Dr. Fate's the guy with the metal, the gold helmet, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. I was just trying to remember who that was.
Yes.
Because they didn't mention his name in the movie at all.
Yes.
Or maybe they did once, but.
What y'all gotta understand? It's just how powerful this man actually is. And to see what's happening, to see like the limited clips that I did see in this movie, where he's got to team up with three other people to take this. No. I am not okay with the nerfing of one of the most powerful characters. Because hell, everybody's powerful.
But Black Adam's powerful.
Right. But Dr. Fate is one of the most powerful.
Most powerful, right.
Powerful characters in DC. So it's like, what are we talking about here? So and then
like I said, I feel like they rushed the writing on this. Like, you know, I mean, like you're saying, Dr. Fate, he could have had his own damn movie, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I feel like there was a lot of internal shit they put in there with about him.
So they got Adam Smasher, they got Cyclone. Why the hell are you putting Dr. Fate in with those two people? You know what I'm saying? Like, you could have put the Flash in place of Dr. Fate. You know what I'm saying? Like, granted, the guy who played Dr. Fate, really good actor. I think he nailed his part, and I really hope that if they do decide, which I hope they do decide, because I would love to see a Dr. Fate movie. I just hope they don't do it like this movie. I would love to see him come back as Dr. Fate, because he killed that part. I mean, just his I don't know. He just the way he portrayed Dr. Fate in this movie was good. And again, I can't blame the actor for the writing. They could have done better on everyone's part as far as the writing goes. But you can definitely tell in this movie that they're hinting towards a Justice League movie again.
I want everybody to peep this. Despite their powers, because what you got to understand in the comic books, multiple people take up the mantle of Dr. Fate. Either way, the character possesses several weaknesses depending on the incarnations. Some versions of Dr. Fate and their powers are centered around the helm, with the removal of the helmet removing or limiting their powers severely. So the helmet is the power, right? But either way, Dr. Fate possesses sufficient magical power that allows them to be considered among the most powerful magic users on the earth. Here are some of the powers: spell casting, flight, teleportation, invincibility, and my personal fucking favorite, necromancy. Was there any damn necromancy in that movie?
No.
Not at all. So
unless it was at the end when I fell asleep, but I didn't see any. Yeah, not at all.
So nerfed. And I ain't here for it. I'm still gonna watch it. But I was fairly disappointed. Now I know what you guys are gonna say. I know y'all want us to talk about Black Panther next, but
hold on, real quick, D. I just want to make one more comment on the Dr. Fate thing. So, I did notice in the movie, just focusing on him as a character, it almost seemed like they were trying to portray him as he might be possibly losing his power or losing his mind or something's going on with him where he may no longer be Dr. Fate anymore after, well, you know, does that make sense? Yeah. Oh. Well, what I'm saying is it almost seemed like they were trying to say that he's maybe not going to be with us much longer kind of thing.
Look up which Dr. Fate he played. Because I'm pretty sure it's Kent Nelson. Or it might be Hector Hall. Now that I think about it. But it's one of them.
I'm looking at... Yeah, he plays Kent Nelson.
It's Kent Nelson?
Yeah.
Okay. A little old for Kent Nelson. But all right, I thought he played Hector Hall.
That's the other thing I was going to say. He looks a little old to play Kent. But I'm just saying, just in the movie, it just seemed like they were trying to write him as... he's not going to be around much longer, kind of thing.
Now watch this.
Losing himself.
Now watch this. So I like this because I think that that's a potential. I think that that's a potential. You have something there, a potential gold mine, because the next Dr. Fate is Khalid Nassor. So that's a potential. So the solo Dr. Fate movie is still in play, but that power now passes to Khalid, and it never hurts to have some diversity on your side, because now you can compare that to oh, okay, so we got Mrs. Marvel over here, we got Khalid as Dr. Fate over here, so right. You know what I mean? So we're keeping up. We bringing y'all, you know, the flavor for your Kool-Aid. You feel me? So, right. Yeah, I think that's something to keep an eye out for, people, whether or not Khalid, they introduce Khalid Nassor, who is in line to be the next Dr. Fate in any future movies. I assume they will. So probably be on the lookout for a solo Dr. Fate movie Yeah, I would go see it.
I think this movie they should have left Dr. Fate out. Yeah. And if they were going to include him, he should have been by himself, because for the Justice Society, Hawkman, Cyclone, and Atom Smasher alone could have just been the Justice Society. They could have had Dr. Fate maybe like the group leader or something, kind of like Doctor Strange.
I'm gonna keep it a buck with you.
In Marvel, but
I'm gonna keep it a buck with you. If we're bringing in Khalid, I don't mind Kent Nelson being in that movie and getting murked. I don't mind it. Because if that's part of the plan, I'm good with it. But yeah, I'm gonna definitely go see it. I have to. Dr. Fate is one of them for me. Right? So that's one of them heroes that I like was one of the first ones I read when I started reading comic books. So gotta get into looking forward to that.
I'm all for a Dr. Fate movie. They definitely need to do one. I would have preferred a Dr. Fate movie over Black Adam. That's just me.
No, big facts. So, ladies and gentlemen, I know you guys were hoping we would talk about the Black Panther movie, but we are not going to talk about it today. Reason being, because my colleague has already seen it.
I've seen part of it. I haven't finished it yet.
Okay. He hasn't finished it yet, and I am going to go see it on Sunday. So that means this episode comes out. Well, hell, you guys are listening to it today. So it comes out today, which would be, well, when would this be? What ship would this
be? Be the 24th, I think.
24th. Yeah, the 24th. Happy Thanksgiving.
Right. Happy Thanksgiving. Happy holidays.
So right. Happy holidays. So you guys will be listening to this either today or sometime after. And with that being said, the episode after, so the week after next, that's when we'll get into the Black Panther movie, because by that time, both of us will have seen it. We can speak intelligently on it, what we liked, what we didn't like. Hell, we'll dedicate, you know what? We'll dedicate a whole episode to it. Maybe. Because I kind of low-key want to get an episode about Shuri. So we might.
Okay.
That might be something we want to do. I got to catch up on my facts about Shuri. It's been a while since I read her solo comic.
I gotta get
back into it. But we'll definitely get into that. So, ladies and gentlemen, now we have transitioned into video game talk. Oh no! Hell no! Wait, no, we haven't. I'm sorry. Holy shit! I apologize. I am so sorry. She-Hulk. Let me talk about it real quick, cause I ain't gonna lie to y'all. I'm a little tired of the disrespect. I've been hearing and seeing nothing but negative reviews online. Ladies and gentlemen, I think the direction that they went with this show was perfect. Me personally, I liked that it was funny. I liked that it was comical. I liked that it had a kind of Deadpoolish comedic humor to it. You know what I mean? With Jennifer Walters constantly breaking the fourth wall and talking directly to the audience. I liked it.
Sure.
So I didn't find anything wrong with it. I liked the characters. I liked all the characters. Every single character they introduced.
I agree with you.
Yeah, like they were all relatable. They were all cool. Fucking loved that they got Daredevil there, that they got Matt in that show with his golden age suit, which I loved. Just like this show. This is just me. I thought it was good.
I'll agree with you to an extent. So I think a lot of the people went into this TV show. Mind you, it's a TV show, not a movie. And I feel like a lot of people went into this TV show thinking it was going to be like a movie. And I feel like that's where a lot of the negative reviews are coming from. This is a TV show, so they got to span it over a season of multiple episodes. I 100% agree with you. I absolutely love the comedy that came with it. Now, mind you, I didn't watch the entire season, but for the 4 or 5 episodes that I've seen, I liked it. I mean, there were some things that could have been done a little bit better, but all in all, I would have rated the TV show like an 8 out of 10, 7, yeah. 7 to 8 out of 10, 7.5.
I liked it. I'm gonna give it a 7.5, solid 8 to keep it a buck with you, because the comedy was enough for me. It, and it's, this kind of low-key lead, this kind of low-key relates to our video game talk. If you guys, do you know what this show reminds me of? This show reminds me of the way that she broke the fourth wall. And then what happens in the last episode, my colleague hasn't seen it, so I won't spoil it. But what happens in the last episode, it's vaguely similar. Do you guys remember the Deadpool video game? If you don't remember, okay, so Tyler, you do. And do you remember in that video game, he was constantly breaking the fourth wall? And
always.
Constantly calling up the producers on the phone, yep, going like, what the fuck is this? Like, why is it, like, why does it look like this? Like, fix it. Like, you know, like,
always.
And the shit was hilarious. You played that video game more so for the cutscenes than you did for the actual action. Just because it was just hilarious. Same situation here. I'm just wondering what fucking hilarious shit she's gonna say next, right?
Agreed.
And keeping in mind, one of my favorite characters on this show actually was the guy who made her suit, Lucas Jacobson. We first get introduced to him in episode 5. And he is reluctant to work with her because he doesn't really think she has any status. And at that point, she doesn't. But he is exclusive. And it answers a question that a lot of people maybe don't ask themselves, but, you know, have thought about probably at one point or another. Who is making these niggas suits? And it turns out it's him. He's making all their suits, and he's doing a ridiculous job. And shout out to Joshua Kane, because I saw that he had a Joshua Kane suit on. Love Joshua Kane suits. Wish I could afford those, but I definitely cannot.
I agree.
No, facts. But yeah, but once again, extremely relatable character. Nikki Ross, mm-hmm, extremely relatable character. Abomination, fucking hilarious character. They even had a Porcupine in there.
Right. Yeah, they did. Yeah.
They had Porcupine in there. That came out of nowhere.
I was not expecting that.
Me either. As I saw Porcupine in that episode, I was like, wait, where the fuck do I know this guy from? I know him from somewhere. Like, this is not just a character they created out the crack of their ass. So I went and researched it. I'm like, okay, I fucking remember this guy. It's hilarious that they're all there.
Right.
The Matador, an actual character. Leapfrog, an actual character. Like these are all actual people that they found a way to get minor roles in this movie. I fucking love that. And it speaks to the genius of Marvel. Let's get these guys in, even if it's a minor role. Maybe, depending, because the more characters you introduce, the more you can watch the stats.
Right.
The stats are climbing for a particular character. Leapfrog is never getting his own show. But at the same time, it's a situation where it's like, oh, you know what? Actually, he's garnering a lot of attention. Somebody start working on a pilot.
Hey, D, just give me 1 second. I'm just stepping off for 5 seconds. I'll be right back.
Like, somebody start working on a pilot. Why not?
Okay, I'm back. Sorry. I just had to grab something that fell. Okay, I'm sorry.
Because that's how we discovered. Now, I think, obviously, Moon Knight, She-Hulk, Ms. Marvel, these were shows that were pre-planned, right? These shows were always going to come out. But what I'm saying is, you add these guys and there's room for growth. Who's to say we don't get a short film with the Matador, Pigman, and Porcupine all in the same show?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like that. Like there's continuous room for growth. But I liked it. I know people had a lot of problems with how debunked or nerfed. Sorry, nerfed. Bruce Banner was Bruce. Like, yeah. But ladies and gentlemen, that's the fucking point.
Like, right.
Professor Hulk is not as strong as the Hulk.
Not at all.
Not at all. So it's like, how is it? Everybody's like, that was the number one thing I saw on Facebook. How is he getting ran over by a Jeep when he's the Hulk? Okay, well, right. A couple things. One, he's not as strong as the Hulk. Who is made stronger by rage? Okay, this Hulk is in his right mind, so he doesn't get angry about a lot of shit. Two, it's his fucking cousin in the car. So to pick up the car, throw it 1,000 feet in the air, and watch it land and explode with his cousin again, that's in the car, probably not the first thing on his mind. Like, probably not the first, second, or third thing on his mind. He's just trying to get her to understand where he's coming from.
Right.
You got anything to add? Because I don't know what the fuck they talking about.
I don't, because the only reason I don't have a whole lot to say about it is because I didn't get to finish it. And I don't want to make comments on something that I, one, didn't finish. Two, I was kind of on and off watching it because I was kind of watching it while doing other things. So there's a lot of the episodes that I don't really remember. However, I will watch it for next podcast, and I can make comments then, and I'll add to it then. Definitely. If that's cool with you, just because, like I said, I don't want to state anything and then look like a dumbass.
Facts. Before we move on to video games, I just want to give a quick shout out to Charlie Cox. Charlie Cox is an amazing actor. You know is code. You know you code when they cancel your show,
right?
And they still keep you in. It's like look, we're canceling the show, but we still want you though. And fucking Iron Fist. That's all I gotta say about that. Either way, fucking Iron Fist. That's a whole pod.
I'm down to talk about it one of these days if you're down, bro.
I want to talk about cover those four shows in detail in one episode. So,
oh, for sure.
Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, and Iron Fist.
Yeah, let's definitely do it, bro. I'm down.
Okay, so video game week. Ladies and gentlemen, God of War, Ragnarok, released last week. The reviews, as expected, killing. This game is apparently amazing. I have downloaded it. I pre-ordered it. I have not had a chance to play it, simply because I am obsessive and I want to 100% the first God of War before I play this one. I am nowhere close, so I'm trying to expedite that process and get that done as fast as possible so that I can, you know, play this game for myself. But of course, I've looked up shit with the game. I've looked up the walkthroughs, and yeah, visually, game stunning. Story wise, it's a good story. My only beef with this game, this is literally my only beef, and it's a petty reason, but I'm petty, so I don't give a shit. Let me look him up, because I don't want to butcher his name. Where is he? I don't like Richard Skiff as Odin. Didn't like it.
Now, why is that?
I don't like Richard Skiff as Odin because that is not what I fucking expected Odin to look like. And I think that they were going for something more relatable, but visually, not really realistic. Hear me out for a second on this. They made Thor a fucking drunk, fat ass, like, just like mess of a character. But it works because when you think about it, it's like, okay, if we're talking about, you know, as realistic as you can make Norse mythology, yeah, that I can see that. I can see that. I can see Thor. I can see that, Thor looking like that.
I took that piece when I saw that. I took that and related it to the Avengers movie when they had Thor as a fat drunk in the beginning of that movie.
Well, I didn't relate to that at all.
That's what I. That's the first thing I got was that was when I saw that when I saw him. The first thing I thought of was, damn, it kind of looks like they ripped the idea ish from the Avengers movie in the beginning they had Thor with the beer gut drinking
they
beer.
Were dropping clues. Well, they were dropping, I mean, not dropping clues. I mean, they basically told you what this motherfucker was going to look like in the first God of War. I mean, how many times did Mimir call him fat? I counted at least six times. So we knew like, oh, okay, yeah, this guy is not big. But to relate that to Odin, I don't like Richard Skiff as the actor behind that, because what about this guy is great? Not Richard. I'm talking about him portraying Odin looking like Richard looking like Odin.
Yeah.
I don't see anything, and especially because of the things that we heard that he had did, all of the fucked up shit that we heard he had did in the first God of War, from the stories that Mimir tells.
Okay.
When they open that door and he's at the door in God of War 2, I ain't getting that. I'm not getting that vibe. It's sure. Like, I was thinking like, oh shit, Thor's in the house and there's a knock at the door. That I know for a fact that's Odin.
Yeah.
Holy shit, we're about to see Odin. Ladies and gentlemen, buckle your seats, grab your popcorn, because it's about to be some shit. And then they open the door and I'm like, oh, okay.
Well, right.
All right.
I feel you.
And then you come to bargain? You tried to kill this man the whole last game.
Right.
Yet you come to bargain? How many times has he disobeyed you? Numerous times.
Mm-hmm.
He took Mimir, a guy you were actively torturing every day for 100 years. Right? Freed the Valkyries, who you helped corrupt. Took them out of hell, because that's where they were supposed to be.
Right.
Threw hell into chaos. You kidnapped the wolves that are supposed to chase the moon and the sun. Like all of the shit you have done, and you came to bargain? Nah. That was the only part I wasn't feeling. But other than that, game was good. You got any comments before we move on to Modern Warfare 2?
No. And the only reason is I don't know too much about the Ragnarok game yet. I did see some reviews about it, but I want to get it. My buddy has it, and I think I'm going to ask him if I can borrow it, because I think he's got it for PS5. So I'm going to see if I can... Yeah. Yeah, I want to see if I can get it so I can play it, because I think the last God of War I played... it's been a while. I haven't been able to really keep up with God of War. It's just because the games are so long, and... I'm trying to think. I gotta see. I think Ghost of Sparta, Origins Saga, God of War Saga, I think was the... Oh no, I skipped Saga, but I played Ascension. So Ascension was the last one that I got to play. So I missed the 2018 one and then the one that just came out. So I'm definitely going to get the one that just came out. I'm not going to buy it. I'm going to borrow it from my buddy and play it. And I'll have comments, maybe not next podcast, but the following. Because I heard this game is a little long. So 2 or 3 hours of gameplay, I think they said.
Yeah, it's pretty long. All right, Modern Warfare 2. Get your shit off. Let's go. Where you want to start?
Man, You've beaten it? You played it all the way through?
No, but we can still talk about it.
Okay. So, I am so stoked for MW3. Parts of the campaign, I didn't like how they told it. However, they made up for it in, one, their missions, the way they did their missions. I love the fact that they brought back the ghillie suit mission in some aspect. The biggest reason I'm stoked for MW3 is because in this game, they didn't have the No Russian mission. However, at the end, they hint towards it. And Makarov shows in the end. And I love how Ghost, at the end of this game, looks at the audience when they're passing the photo of Makarov. So now, I can't remember her name.
Elaine.
Is it Elaine, the blonde chick?
Walters,
that's right. So she says that she doesn't know who this guy is. She hands the photo to Price. Price hands it, you know, down the line. He knows, everybody else knows, and Ghost is the last to look at it. And he looks at the photo, he puts it down, he looks at the audience with that look of, you've got to be fucking kidding me. Like, he knows that Makarov is going to be like, I honestly think that they're going to make him more sinister in MW3 than he was in any of the other, in the older MWs. Like, honestly. What about
Ghost or Makarov?
Makarov. I think he's going to be more sinister in this round of Modern Warfare games than he was before. And just the fact that this is going to, the No Russian mission is going to take place on an airplane is, I can't wait to see how this is going to go. This is going to be really, really interesting.
I mean, we'll see. Go ahead.
The movie, or I'm sorry, to move off of that topic, the leader of that group, damn it, dude, I can't think of the names of these groups now. Los Cenarios or whatever. I can't remember the fucking name.
The cartel?
Yeah, but it's the woman, the Hispanic woman that they capture and throw into the crate, and they're interrogating her. She turns out to be the leader of the group, you know, and I wasn't expecting that at all. Like I said, the way they told this campaign, it's really good. Like, it's astonishing. I mean, they brought back Zahir, or whatever her name was, from Modern Warfare. Farah, that's right. Sorry, Farah. They brought her back, and that was pretty cool that they brought her back into play for this game. They did really good with this campaign. And
from what I've played so far, I would agree with you. I didn't like the boatyard mission. I thought that mission was fucking frustrating as hell.
Definitely. There's a lot of frustrating missions in this game. But
that was the most annoying mission. Because I'm like, to dive back into the water, dive out, throw knives at my, like, I fucking hate it.
Right. Right. But you know what? I think that's what makes this game as good as it is. And honestly, like, I've played every Call of Duty, every Modern Warfare. And I can definitely say that what they are doing right now with the new strain of Modern Warfare is, granted, nothing can compare to the original Modern Warfare. However, these are fucking close. Like, 2019's Modern Warfare, the first one, and now this one. Like, dude, I can't wait to see what MW3 has in store, what they got in store for that game. Because, I mean, they did so good with this one. And I mean, on a scale of 1 to 10, it's damn near almost a 10. I'd say a 9 or 9.5. Like, they really did really good with this one.
Big facts.
The multiplayer, not a big fan of. then again, you know,
I knew we were gonna get into it. No, I do.
I'm just saying.
I had a feeling you were gonna say it though.
Yeah, but okay. Now but that's because I'm an older Call of Duty fan. You know what I'm saying? Like, Black Ops 2, the original Modern Warfare 2 Online, perfectly fine. I loved it.
Well, I don't know
if it's...
Explain yourself.
I don't, what
didn't
I don't
you
know,
like about it specifically?
I don't know if it's the high-end graphics or maybe my settings are fucked up.
Is it the shaking? Because you can fix that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no, it's not that. It's... I don't know, man. It's like the blur when you spin and shit. Like, I know you can turn the field of vision down, but I don't know, man. It's just like I can't grasp the online for this game like I could in older Call of Duty.
Tyler is a seasoned online player when it comes to Call of Duty. Your boy is not even a novice. I don't play online. But the funny thing is, I have PlayStation Plus. I literally sat on this fucking couch over here. I turned on the game. And me just remembering that I have online. I'm like, you know what? Let me just go to a lobby real quick. Just to see. So I go to a lobby. My character jumps up. And I'm like, oh my God. It's fight or flight.
Oh yeah, definitely.
I instantly flighted. I was like, oh my God, look at my character. I'm gonna get destroyed out here. I know it's one of those things where it's like, look, you just gotta do it. You gotta hop in, you gotta join a session, and you just gotta start murking. You start murking, you'll earn rewards, you can upgrade your player. I get that. But that shit takes time, man.
Oh, and I think that's the other thing too. It's the ranking system for your guns, the progression. I think it's just a little too slow, but when the starting of every match is just too quick. And for me, I'm like I said, in the older Call of Duty, it was a little bit slower in the beginning.
Explain that. You said it's too quick to start. Explain that.
Like, the minute you start, within the first literally 3 to 5 seconds, you're already shooting at somebody. You know what I'm saying? Whereas in the other Call of Duties, there was a good, like, 10-20 second period where you could get to a building, kind of set up a little bit before you engage in somebody or get hit with a fucking noob tube or something.
So do you think that maybe that's a spacing issue?
Maybe. And I will agree that there are some maps that need to be redesigned, and maybe with the DLC they'll come out with something. I'm not a huge fan of close quarters.
What's your least favorite map?
Except for certain maps. I gotta get the names. Give me one second. I do want to touch on the survival mode too, by the way, which I am a huge fan of. Let's see.
I don't know what it is, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay, there's only
zombies.
There's only two. No, this isn't zombies. This is the original survival mode from Call of Duty, where you're fighting other soldiers.
Oh,
so
okay, cool.
There's only two maps on this game that I didn't like, and it was the hydroelectric place, the hotel, Green Burge Hotel. I don't like. Maybe Crown Raceway, but the hotel is definitely one I didn't like, and the hydroelectric I didn't like. The water shit, I didn't like it too much. My favorite is Shoot House, and the one with the fucking tower in the middle. Let's see, is it on here? Tarak. I think that's it. Yeah, Tarak. Those are my two favorite ones.
Fair enough.
The Fortress. The Fortress is another close quarters that I like.
You just said you didn't like close quarters.
I don't like the close quarters in these ones. That's the only map that's close quarters that I actually like. And it's because there's tunnels and rooms that you can go into to kind of give yourself breathing to breathe, if that makes sense. Like, if you're in a battle and you need to breathe, you can quickly duck off into a room real quick. You know, that's what I like. Whereas on all the other ones, once you're out there fighting, you're stuck. You're either going to die or you're going to win. And there's no room for breathing. Once you start reloading, you're probably going to get shot in the ass. and that's honestly how I feel about the game. Like, the multiplayer, I'm kind of iffy on it. Maybe if I played it a little bit more and kind of got used to the controls and the maps, I'd like it. The Warzone, I'm cool with. I like that, the whole Battle Royale thing. But the survival mode, man, I like you said, I don't know what it is with white people and zombies. I absolutely love the zombie survivals. I loved all of the survival modes that Call of Duty has come out with. Yes. Whether it's the alien shit from Infinite Warfare or Advanced Warfare, or it's the survival modes from Modern Warfare, the old ones. Even the zombies and Treyarchs, except for the new zombie ones. I don't like the new ones.
I gotta say, like, the success of this one honestly kind of just makes me confused. Because I'm like, and obviously you don't know that a game is going to be a short, you don't know it's going to be a hit. You just got to put it out. You put the shit out, but like with the success of the first one, Modern Warfare in 2019, and the success of this one, like, it just makes Cold War kind of a throwaway.
Pretty much, yeah, and I agree with that. Even Vanguard, yeah, Vanguard's a throwaway.
Yeah,
and
it's a throwaway. It's like, what?
So here's my view on that, and this has been an issue for quite a while now, and I think Black Ops 3 into Black Ops 4 was like the pinnacle, and even Infinite Warfare and Advanced Warfare. It's the fact that these game companies, it's every single year they're dropping a game. Yeah. Every year they're dropping a game. And
still, and side note, still no fucking new Ghost game. Go ahead.
Right, and I agree. I definitely think there should be one. I think they should do is take what they're doing with these Modern Warfares, take the original Ghost game storyline, and retell it. And if they do, I hope to God they do it kind of like how they did these new Modern Warfare stories, because I could definitely like they could have touched a little bit more on some things in that game, bro. Come on.
I like where your head's at. I only disagree in the fact of I don't want a reboot. I want a sequel.
Okay. I see what you're saying.
I don't want a reboot. I like the story. I wouldn't change anything about the story. I want a sequel. I don't want a reboot.
I don't know if they could really...
I want to know what the fuck happened to him in that jungle.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah, they definitely could do that. So I think with these games, from what I hear... After next year, supposedly the game developers are going to be taking the 2 years, 3 year breaks in between their games, which not only will that give the developers more time to fix the fucking bugs in every goddamn game and all the cheating and shit, but I think it'll give them time to really come up with something good and it not be a fucking throwaway game.
You said cheating.
Yes.
Expand on that, please.
Because when you look at how well, actually, the cheating system is, the anti-cheat that they have in Modern Warfare and Modern Warfare 2, compared to every other Call of Duty before that.
Well, to the people that don't understand how to cheat, because this is new to me. The only instance I've seen of cheating in Modern Warfare on YouTube was purposely killing each other to up your stats.
Oh no, boosting? Yeah, no, boosting. You can't even do that anymore. But no, the anti-cheat, I'm talking like wall hacks, UV hacks, infinite ammo, no recoil, stuff like that. So the anti-cheat that I think, was it Infinity Ward that came out with this one? I'm pretty sure it was.
Like, how do you fucking even... This must be more prevalent on PC users.
Oh, definitely big on PC, because PlayStation and Xbox, you can't do it. They'll ban the shit out of you real quick.
Yeah.
No, PC is, it's the biggest, but the fact that they got cross platform is what makes it a problem sometimes. So it was Infinity Ward. So Infinity Ward, for the last, I think, 5 or 6 years, they've been working with it's either Riot or Blizzard, one of the two, with the, or I think it's Blizzard or Ubisoft, with the anti-cheat system that they got for Overwatch and League of Legends, and there's another game that's out that they got it on. I can't think of it now. It's not Rainbow Six, but it's similar. It's a huge fucking they do tournaments with it, and I can't think of the other game. It's a first person shooter. Shroud got real big on that game. Counter-Strike. Counter-Strike. They got an anti-cheat system like that, and Infinity Ward's been working on it for a good chunk of time, and I think they did really good with it right now as far as where they're at with the cheat system. It needs a little bit more improvement, and I think that 2 to 3 year development time in between games is really going to help with the cheating system. But I more so think it's going to help with the story development, fixing the bugs in the games, the graphics and everything, and again, the whole throwaway thing. Because since, I think it was Advanced Warfare, then Infinite Warfare. Since Advanced Warfare, every single Call of Duty that has come out was only good for like 6-7 months. The new one would, or maybe a year, the new one would come out, and then you never heard about that other game again. And never Infinite again. Warfare and Advanced Warfare are the two biggest games that I know of that were not talked about after they came out. Like after Black Ops 4 came out, and there was one more that came out after that, World War II. That one, and even World War II was a throwaway game.
Oh, it was definitely a throwaway. That. And I bought it. I beat it once. I haven't played it again.
Right. I played the campaign, and I haven't played it online.
Played it, yeah. Nobody played it online.
But I definitely think, I don't think the two new Modern Warfares, those aren't going to be throwaways. Those are going to be, people are going to be able to come back to it and play it. And I think the biggest reason, not only just the campaign, but the Warzone aspect of it. You know what I'm saying? And I think the whole Battle Royale thing is really what's going to keep people coming back. Maybe not so much the multiplayer, but like the survival mode and stuff like that.
Yeah.
The 2 to 3 year development time, though, I'm really hoping that they go through with it. They were supposed to do it this year after MW2 released. Treyarch was supposed to pick up the next game. And it wasn't supposed to come out until 2024 or 2025, somewhere in that area. And then it changed, and now they're coming out with one next year. So I think after next year is when they're going to start that. And I believe Infinity Ward is going to pick up after next year. So I would assume MW3 is going to be their next game. And somewhere in that time frame, Sledgehammer, I don't know if they're done now because they flopped with Vanguard. Big time. Big time flopped with that. Didn't even like the campaign for it. They flopped with it. Treyarch did great on Cold War. Absolutely loved it. The campaign, at least. Not so much the multiplayer. The zombies was iffy. I love how they came back to Nocturne Toten with the whole underground bunker thing. That was kind of cool. But the story that they told and how they ended it so quickly, not a big fan. Ever since Black Ops 3, every zombie storyline that came out after Black Ops 3, I absolutely lost interest in the story because they went way overboard and hit different parts of the universe that I didn't like. So they could have stuck to their roots with the Germans finding this asteroid and, you know, something sci-fi, but not aliens. You know, I don't like the whole alien aspect that they brought in.
No, facts. But
the Infinity Ward's doing really good right now with their development. And I'm really, really looking forward to MW3. And I really hope that after next year, they take that 2 to 3 year development time because they could really make MW3 something special. I really do feel it.
Going back to your comment on flops. Speaking of flops, and I'm gonna save it for the next pod because I don't have the amount of I love Canada as much as the rest of y'all. I love Canada as much as the rest of y'all. I love Canadians. Okay. I don't know how Canadians feel about us, but it is what it is. I love Canada. But WB Studios, Montreal. This Gotham Knights. Holy fuck, bud. Holy fuck, did y'all drop the ball.
What was it?
Holy
shit. Oh, Gotham Knights.
Holy shit, was this game bad. This game was almost as bad as the new Saints Row game. I would say that this game slightly edges out Saints Row as the worst. Only reason I'm giving Saints Row a little bit of headway is because it was an easy fix. You fucking took the cheats out. One of the great things about Saints Row was the cheats.
Yeah,
it was the cheats. Like, this game was ridiculous. That's why we loved it. Like, and they just got rid of the cheats and they made you do everything by the rules. And I'm like, no, that's not what Saints Row is about. This game is fucking ridiculous. I used to. I mean, I'm just being real.
And I'm definitely gonna have to check that game out.
Anybody that's played any Saints Row game, y'all know exactly what I'm about to say.
Oh yeah,
y'all know what I'm about. You know exactly the weapon I'm about to describe. The huge fucking dildos.
Oh yeah. Uh huh.
I used to run around knocking people the fuck out.
Fuck out. Yep. Hell
like,
yeah.
Like that is how ridiculous the Saints Row game is.
Yeah.
This new game was way too serious.
Sure, I agree. I don't agree. I gotta check it out. I'm looking at some of the reviews, and yeah, there are people saying that it was too serious. People are saying that its strength ultimately felt flat too. So
yeah, it was flat. It was flat. It didn't deliver at all. I don't know what I was expecting. But the story that I got, I could have did without.
Sure.
I thought that Saints Row. I should have known something was up when it wasn't called Saints Row 5.
Right.
So,
okay.
I should have known something was up then. But okay, we're retelling the story. Cause I mean, you got aliens that blow up Earth. You can't really come back from that. So because that's what happened in Saints Row 4.
Right.
Aliens blew up the Earth and they lived in the virtual world. Yeah, you can't really come back from that. But you could have made a story. Because that's how ridiculous the fucking game is. That's what customers expect. I'm expecting some shit that I can laugh at, have fun with, and cheat the shit out of. That's what I am looking for when I play Saints Row. I got none of those in these games. And ladies and gentlemen, we do not have enough time on this podcast to go through all of the fucking things that I thought was terrible about Gotham Knights.
That is for, we can come is, back to it.
That is definitely for another pod because
real quick, D, I did want to say, you do know that Saints Row, the first one, wasn't actually supposed to be the comedy that it was. It was actually supposed to be a legitimate serious game.
Oh, I know.
They were trying to turn it into like a GTA kind of thing.
I know.
Yeah.
And when
I love where they went with it, though.
Exactly.
I love the spin they went on with it.
That's the genius of it. Because yeah. It's like, okay, and to be real with you, if we're being honest here, because that was the only one, that's the only one I haven't played. The first one. Saints Row. But I watched the walkthrough a million times. The second one wasn't for play either. That one was kind of serious as well.
Yeah.
But it had cheats.
Why they spun around to what it is now. Yeah.
It didn't get to hilarious off the cuff shit until Saints Row 3. And Saints Row 3 to me was the best one.
Oh yeah, definitely. I think story-wise, 2, 1 and 2 were probably the best. But yeah, 3, as far as comedy and funny shit goes, I mean, 3 is probably where I did most of my stupid shit.
Like, come on, y'all. Like,
even with all the cheats, the big head shit, and the watermelons and all that.
Like, let's be real. And may he rest in paradise, rest in power, because anybody that knows me knows that I think he is the motherfucking man. You put Burt Reynolds in Saints Row 3, bro. The fact that he was in the game.
that was like, so funny, like, bro.
As soon as I saw Burt Reynolds, first thing I thought was, holy shit, Burt Reynolds. And then afterwards.
That's exactly my thought, too.
And then afterwards, I was like, hold up. So let me get this straight. So Burt Reynolds is the mayor of this city. And he wants me to go kill zombies. I fucking love this game. I love this game.
Like, bro, when I seen that shit reminded me of Family Guy, bro, with Adam West as the mayor. That's where I was so geeked about it, bro. I was so happy. That was great.
You see how we're reminiscing on good times right now?
Hell yeah.
I'm not gonna remember this new Saints Row game. I'm not. It's not gonna do it for me. Had I known it was gonna be this bad, I probably wouldn't have bought it. I'm still going to beat it, just because that's the type of person I am. But
right,
mid. Now I wouldn't even call it mid. It's lower than mid. With that being said, ladies and gentlemen, we have reached. Yes, this is a fucking Red Hood helmet in the back of.
I was gonna say that looks good. I like that.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we have reached the end of episode 36. I want to thank you all for tuning in with us. Another great episode. Obviously, you guys know, leave a like and a comment if you like the episode. Let us know if there are any topics you would like us to cover on the podcast. We will make sure that we get around to it. If we haven't heard of it, we'll learn. If we ain't got no juice, we're going to fake it. And also, be sure to follow the YouTube page, Mad Nerd Talk, m.a.d.nerdtalk, where we post all of the episodes, the podcast episodes in video form for free. And our podcasts are streaming on multiple platforms, especially the big three, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Apple. So give us a like, check us out, and make sure to follow our social media pages, which will be in the description below. Or where the fuck are we at on YouTube? If you're looking at this on YouTube,
yeah, it's below. Even on Spotify, it's below too. So
yeah, so go ahead.
Above sometimes.
Yeah, go ahead and check us out. Go ahead and check out the pages. Leave a like, leave a comment, let us know, and we will make sure that we respond to all of you guys. I want to thank Tyler again for kicking it with me again. And
no problem. Thank you for having me on, man.
Of course, he will definitely be back for the next episode. And remember,
for sure.
Remember, people, please, please remember. And this is a big one. Thanksgiving hasn't come yet, so leave your fucking Christmas decorations in the box.
In the attic until December 1st.
Okay. It's snow outside. It's snowing outside, but you knew where you lived, so stop complaining. And most importantly, remember, when you are outside walking your dog, in that piece of shit coat that's not protecting you, remember that you chose to have no gloves. Your dog is just as miserable as you, but you can always stay swifty.